Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Alexa, and you're listening to MedCurity Live. With me today, I have Joy Easterwood, an attorney at Johnson, Pope, Boker, Ruppel, and Burns. Joy has extensive experience navigating HIPAA compliance, which is why we've brought her on the show today. And today, we'll be talking a bit about why it is so important as a healthcare leader or employee to know where your data is stored, and specifically in terms of HIPAA, knowing where your patient's protected health information is stored. So, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Joy, and taking time out of your busy day to give some valuable insight to our listeners. So if you don't mind, could you give us just a little bit of background on what you do as an attorney at Johnson, Pope, Boker, Ruppel, and Burns?
Sure. And first, I want to say thank you for having me. I always appreciate the chance to talk about some of those things that can help organizations, whether it's a single person, provider office, or a large organization, take steps to avoid some of those crisis type matters that often us lawyers get involved in to help people navigate and get through. My background actually consists of both working as an attorney in the healthcare sector and also as a privacy officer at various organizations in an in-house capacity. And so I have experience both on the payer side and the provider side and the business associate side with navigating compliance under HIPAA state law and really understanding what it takes to have a living and breathing HIPAA compliance program that is proactive more so than reactive. And in my current role in a law firm now, I help clients with a range of things, including those proactive or fun, right? I'm nerdy, so I call it fun. Those fun compliance projects and things that they can do to avoid or try to avoid really tough incidents. But we also help clients with breach management and responding to OCR inquiries, ensuring compliance with state and federal breach notification rules, and then, you know, what steps they should take to adjust practices to avoid incidents in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is definitely a lot, which is going to be really great because that means that you have so much valuable information to bring to our listeners today and to me as well, because I am not an attorney. And so I don't have, even though I research HIPAA all day long, there's so much that goes into HIPAA. It's a law, and to understand its full depth and everything that it covers, there's a lot of legal terms to understand. So I'm really excited to learn a lot more personally about what we're going to be talking about today. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right into the questions, with the first one being, what do you think is the most common reason that people do not know where their data is stored?
Yeah, and so I'll just start with one thing I left out. Sorry to backtrack a little bit.
No.
Is that, you know, we also spend a lot of time contracting and doing contracts to make sure that people understand their contractual obligations related to data. And for companies out there that are business associates under HIPAA, those contractual and regulatory requirements are really important for this question, because for business associates, it's not just where is their data, it's are they complying with the requirements to their covered entity clients related to storing and maintaining that other company's data. Mm-hmm. And so ensuring that they can comply with the terms of a business associate agreement, including, you know, maintaining data in a compliant fashion, but also returning or destroying somebody else's PHI when the relationship ends, you really can't do that unless you know where all of the data lives. And so some of the things that organizations of all size can struggle with is really knowing where people are storing things. So there's a big human factor in it. People can have wonderful policies, but if workforce members don't understand where they are allowed to store things, that's where some things can happen. For example, and usually these aren't bad actors, right? These are people that just might not understand both the company's requirements and the requirements under HIPAA, including having to have a business associate agreement, for example, with some of those third-party storage platforms. And a lot of us have heard, right, of Amazon and Google and these other third-party places where there might not even be such a, like substantial charges for storage, there's a lot of possibility for people to go store things where they shouldn't be, and the organization might not realize that. Some other things that can happen is just the speed that a company grows. And so they might start adding a lot of new systems or departments. Vendors might change their names, and or people have different abilities to sign contracts. And so with that, I'll add that not doing a broad HIPAA security risk analysis that identifies where all of that EPHI is, that's another thing that can happen and leave people thinking they know where all of their data is until they're met with a surprise or a discovery that, hey, this system, this database, this storage facility for paper PHI, these type of things were out of scope, and they might not even realize it until there's an incident or a potential breach involving that data.
Yeah, and I have a quick question to kind of add on to that. From your experience with organizations that you've worked with, which format do you think is more difficult to manage, EPHI or physical PHI? Because I think there's kind of difficulties that can present themselves with each format. But I think nowadays a lot of people think that having everything electronically is better. But I'm just wondering, from your experience, which format do you think people have a harder time managing or keeping track of?
So I think it depends on who it is, right? Sometimes you don't know, and that's why people in the privacy realm and that are really acting as privacy officers, right, hopefully are wanting to go out and do walkthroughs of different facilities or offices, because you might think, for example, we don't really have a lot of paper, right? And then you could go visit somebody's office or one of your locations and say, whoa, what is all this paper? And people say, well, you know, we were supposed to shred these when we went electronic, yeah, but we just weren't comfortable with it. Or, you know, I really like to work off of paper, so I create all of these separate notebooks or, you know, just piles of paper. And so that's where those walkthroughs are really helpful for paper and making sure that each location, if contracting is not done at a central location, has confirmed too how they destroy that paper and has good policies related to shredding things as you go instead of creating these, you know, buckets under the desk, right? Where somebody doesn't want to walk to the other side of the room throughout the day. So they let all their PHI paper pile up. And now the problem with that is those are things that aren't really tracked well. So what if somebody does pick up that box and walk out with it? Do you really know what patient information is impacted in that box so that you can comply with the breach notification rule? So paper can be an issue in that regard if it's disclosed and people don't realize or know what patient information is actually impacted. But, you know, technology is so easy to get access to, and there's so many things out there now that can help with both a clinical perspective and make things easier from a technical perspective. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that aren't, you know, HIPAA compliance officers or privacy officers, security officers, lawyers, they might just read the website that says HIPAA compliant or we're totally secure or we have HIPAA certifications. And they're not taking that back to the organization, the company, whoever it might be, to make sure there's a business associate agreement in place. What we've also seen is that sometimes there's platforms that they don't cost any money to use, right? Whether or not you're a business associate though, or a cloud vendor that's a business associate under HIPAA, one of those requirements is not that you're paying them. So people might even be looking through their accounts payable to see what vendors they owe money to identify business associates. And then lo and behold, they discover that somebody, again, is storing something in a platform without a BAA because it didn't cost any money. So I think that they both present challenges just in different ways, and managing or overseeing compliance with HIPAA, those are different efforts, right? Because you're not going to clearly see every platform that people are putting things in electronically by doing a walkthrough necessarily, unless you're sitting down with them and saying, now show me where you're keeping, you know, records, for example, or what's your process for this. But there's other ways you can address that, like questionnaires, and definitely engaging the locations in your HIPAA security risk analysis too, with the first part being identifying where all that EPHI is.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier when talking about some of the consequences that can come from not knowing where your data is, but I just kind of wanted you to dive into it a little bit deeper. So my next question is, what are the implications under HIPAA if an organization doesn't know where their data is?
That's a great question. And, you know, we can all say what we've seen. And I think there's also that great unknown, right? Because if you don't know where your data is, then who knows the limitless area that you could go into of problems that could come up from that issue. That I can think of off the top of my head, though, let's talk about an example with the breach requirement and doing a HIPAA breach risk assessment under the four factors that are under the breach notification rule to determine if something is a breach. One of those factors, you know, is knowing, or there's two we should talk about. One is what PHI is impacted. And then another factor is the extent that you mitigate something. And obviously under HIPAA, if there's a potential breach, you need to mitigate that to the fullest extent possible to protect the impacted individuals. And if you don't even know where the data is or what was in it, if you have a breach incident, you really cannot complete that mitigation. And so again, you know, you might discover that something was where it shouldn't be, but it's much harder to mitigate a potential issue or breach if you're not starting with knowing what is where. Mm-hmm. And then some of the more obvious problems, you know, we know that a HIPAA risk analysis is so important to the OCR, and you can see that in their resolution agreements. And one reason it is so important is because it's a great way to really make sure your environment is secure. And again, if you don't know where your data is, then you can't be sure it's secure. So you might find that, you know, maybe it was within your network or something, but everybody forgot about an old server or something to that effect, and it was left out of your HIPAA security risk analysis. And so as a result, updates and patching might not happen, and then, you know, the data is exposed somehow. And so obviously not knowing where your data is can just simply lead to breaches and an incomplete HIPAA security risk analysis. Another trend that we see in the OCR's resolution agreements over very recent years is that, you know, making sure that access is timely terminated to PHI is very important. And you can't really do that unless, again, you know where that PHI is. And so if you don't know where your data is, then how do you really know that when somebody leaves the organization, you've suspended that access and compliance with HIPAA?
Yeah. So with that, with knowing that, what steps do you think an organization should take to identify where their data or their protected health information is located?
I think that one of the most important and successful avenues to complying with any area of HIPAA is engaging the people that are involved in maintaining the privacy and the security of the PHI. And so you can't overlook the importance of those people when trying to determine where your data, specifically PHI, obviously you also care about information that's protected under state law. Starting with those people, because if you're just working off of documents that you have, you might be missing something simply by failing to ask people in each location, you know, where are you storing PHI? Where do you keep it? What do you do? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that's a tedious task, but it's very effective. And it can have a lot of really good outcomes as well that address an organization's risk. For example, if you discover that somebody is keeping lots of paper, for example, where you think it's really high risk, and all of a sudden you discover that, you can engage with that person and say, hey, let's move away from that. Let's securely shred this and put it away. So I think people and engaging them in the process is a very important and eye-opening piece of identifying where data is. Knowing who your business associates are and engaging in at least some basic vendor management processes is also important. Having good contractual language with those business associates over and above what the regulatory requirements are. One thing I always want my clients to have in a BAA, for example, is that before somebody offshores their PHI, they have to get approval for that. So another example would be somebody thinking, oh, all of my data is, you know, here in the United States, and here's my business associates, and I have a BAA, and then they have an incident and discover that their business associate had an offshore location, and they didn't find out about it until there's a breach. And it doesn't mean you can't have good security controls to facilitate offshoring information, but you want to have the opportunity to engage in that discussion with a vendor. And so good contractual language is also important. And having a really good asset inventory of where EPHI is and knowing where the paper is as well. And again, to have a complete inventory, it's really key not to leave any people out, again, who interface with the business operations, who might be able to identify areas that have been missed.
Yeah. And with that, do you have any guidance or recommended steps of action for larger organizations that need to manage their data? For example, if they have multiple clinics, how do you recommend that they manage their PHI and know where their data is located? Because obviously it seems like it's simpler for smaller clinics to be able to keep track of where things are stored, whether it's electronic or it's hard copy, because they can have a little bit more access to their employees and train them properly. But when it comes to a larger organization, what have you seen that has worked for them to manage their PHI in their different locations?
That's a good question. And I feel like in the healthcare sector, you know, there's kind of this in-between realm. People think of a single provider office or a really large health system that has a lot of internal resources. But a large part of healthcare includes large chain physician groups, for example, or business associates with a lot of locations. And they might not be the same size as a health system. They might not be as centrally located as one provider office. So I just wanted to touch on that because I think that that's a group that's kind of left out, right? They're big enough where they have a lot of locations and a lot of data and maybe a lot of lines of service, but they're not as large where they have the full-time dedicated, you know, chief information security officers and, you know, lawyers and privacy officers. And so your question, I think, is really important for that group. And when I work with those type of clients, I like to get really creative about how they can engage people to help with that. And making sure that everybody knows that HIPAA is a part of their job and engaging each location in the process is so critical to that. Data governance is also really important, and making sure that privacy and security is really memorialized in a fashion where it's reported to the executive team, even for those larger organizations that aren't necessarily large health systems, so that issues are identified. And if you need to go through an effort to identify where all of your data is, you have that executive support to go through the process. Because whether or not you're spending money on technical tools to assist with that, or you're taking people's time out of the day to identify where data is, that executive buy-in is really important because it affects the business. But having local accountability is important. And that doesn't mean that every office has a HIPAA privacy officer, but they should be receiving additional training from the privacy officer or an outside company so that they can oversee as part of their job duties that the HIPAA compliance program is taking place in that office location, and that before any PHI goes anywhere, they need to contact the right person, make sure there's a BAA, and make sure that that's where the organization wants PHI to go. And so I think that engaging each local office is critical, and having them understand that it's an expectation of their job duties, and it's everybody's responsibility, and knowing that, you know, if I don't tell the right people that I'm putting PHI here or there, that's a potential for disciplinary action for my job, because it can certainly affect the company and it can certainly affect their customers, whether they're clients or covered entities. Nobody wants to hear that no one realized that their data was in a certain place, mm-hmm. or that they're now subject, you know, to a breach and having to do that type of follow-up. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of helpful tools that we can provide those larger companies that have grown or, you know, are large. There's a lot of resources like your company, lawyers like myself, and a range of things out there that can help a lot of companies through that process, whether it's through awareness so that they can engage in future efforts or on a rolling basis. And so, you know, I do think there's a lot of support. And if they engage a third party, they should be asking these type of questions, right? You know, how can I identify where my PHI is? What should I do if I find out it's somewhere it shouldn't be?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you mentioned something that is really important, which is, and you mentioned this at the beginning and touched on a little bit right now, but having good policies and procedures is great. It's a great foundation. It's a great guideline. But if they're not implemented through employee training, then they're essentially pointless. So it's really important to, like you said, engage those individuals that are at each different location. And you don't necessarily need to hire on a full individual to take care of all HIPAA compliance needs. You don't have to hire another staff member is what I'm saying. You don't have to hire another staff member to deal mm-hmm. with that. But if you train all your employees on the basics of HIPAA compliance, then that's a great start to covering your bases when it comes to making sure that everyone in the organization has a good grasp on understanding basic HIPAA compliance.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I really encourage tailored training that's specific and tells the workforce where they can find that company's policies. And even more important, who do I pick up the phone and call if I have someone standing in front of me and I'm not sure how I should handle this PHI? Yeah. Knowing who to call or email so that they, and what I always tell people for HIPAA is it's really important to ask your question before you do something with the PHI, right?
Yes.
You go ahead and send it out the wrong way or to the wrong person, and then you call me after, we're dealing with a different type of issue. So that's something I always emphasize as well. But I agree, that's a really good point. And I know that you all help people with policies and I do too. And then I really always encourage that then the training comes that's specific to the policies that they've adopted and they should be reviewed. And then when they, you know, encounter a scenario, they should always think, did our policy speak clearly enough about this? Or can we change our policy to reinforce the importance of this and give our workforce better guidance?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of employees in the workforce, our last question is, what should the first step be, or what is the first step an individual should take to protect data when an employee leaves their organization?
So, and I see challenges based on size in this area too, right? I think that it's not just important to know what systems you need to turn off, but whoever that person's manager is, it's so critical that they know if they have keys to the office, if they were a remote worker, did they have a device? Is there some type of device that we need to get back and turn off? And so I think that really starts at the point of the employees being hired and then with each job role change and being mm-hmm. tracked throughout their employment. Because obviously you have to have good termination procedures under the security rule to be compliant, with the goal being that you make sure that all the PHI comes back and is not improperly accessed or disclosed. And, you know, it's easy when it's systems that are behind the network. It's harder if you have somebody that's gone off on their own and started putting things in the wrong place in an electronic platform. But you're also missing pieces that address PHI if you haven't gotten all of the keys back, maybe reset alarm codes, for example, gotten all paper, all devices, that type of thing. And so I think that the important piece is managing that while people work for the company. And if you don't already have good processes for that and forms, it's never too late to do that while people are there and make sure that managers know that when somebody leaves, it's not just your responsibility to make sure they get their last paycheck. It's also very critical and you're responsible for making sure that any PHI that they have or had access to is suspended and returned.
Yeah, and I think a great point that you made is that all of that should be tracked from the point of hiring them instead of having to work backwards when they either leave or they are terminated as an employee. Working backwards is so much more difficult in trying to figure out what they were in contact with instead of knowing from the very beginning what they were in contact with, what data they gathered or had access to. And obviously sometimes that can be hard to track if maybe they were inappropriately accessing data. And that is something that we have seen. You know, there have been instances where employees were doing something that their employer did not know about. And so you find out about that later. And that's obviously a different situation or scenario where you do have to kind of work backwards and put the pieces of the puzzle together and trying to figure out what they might have had access to. But in most circumstances, you should be able to track what they have access to from the beginning and be able to have that security clearance identified from the moment they are hired. And then you're able to properly terminate them or properly figure out what data they were in contact with when they leave the organization.
Yeah. And some of those things, I mean, come down to what forms are filled out by the manager. And that's a piece as a privacy officer somewhere or as an outside attorney, I would always look at. And it overlays with HR, right? A lot of times, unless privacy or somebody that's considering it is at the table, they might put together a lot of forms that are great for other HR reasons, but are missing the importance of access to and termination and return of PHI. And really what you want at the end of the day is some comfort that you have good systems and processes in place so that when somebody leaves an organization and you think you've suspended their access to PHI, you can feel confident about that so you don't have those other discoveries or compliance concerns and potential enforcement action, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Joy, for coming on the show today. It was really wonderful hearing all the great recommendations and clarifications that you brought to HIPAA and especially dealing with protected health information. It's a really big issue that we're seeing today in the news right now. And it's just, there's been a lot of action and a lot of conversation around HIPAA. So having someone with a lot of understanding and experience working with HIPAA is just a really great and valuable thing to our listeners. And I learned a lot today as well. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on today.
Thank you for having me. And before we go, I'm running on a bit, but I want to mention because we have seen so much of that in the news and unfortunately, you know, I've seen a lot of ransomware attacks too.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue in that case is restoring your systems and your PHI. And if you don't know where your PHI is, but the cyber attacker discovers it, obviously it's very hard to restore systems in addition to fulfilling breach notification obligations if you don't know where that PHI was. So all good reasons to your point. And I appreciate you having me today so we can try to help people think about these things because unfortunately we really are in a very active time where the pipeline case, but the healthcare sector is consistently being hit with those ransomware attacks too. And I think that knowing where your data is and having good data backup and restoration.
I was just going to say that.
So important. Yeah. And I honestly, I can't believe we missed that. That was a big thing I wanted to talk about today.
No, yeah. Go ahead and touch on it real quick because I was just going to say, you know, knowing where your data is a great basic start. Having backups to your data, that's where you really want to be at. At this point in time, in this digital age where we literally hear about a new cyber attack almost every single day. And with the biggest one just being this last weekend with, I think it was a 70, I don't want to say it incorrectly, but there are a lot of individuals that are affected by one of the biggest ransomware attacks in history. So we're seeing that more and more every single day. So not only knowing where your data is, that should be something that you should be currently implementing. If you're not, implement it right away, know where your data is, and then have backups to your data. So go ahead, Joy, take it away. Tell us why that's so important.
And I'll just say, I don't know if you saw, but the OCR just in the past 2 days, they sent out a couple of alerts as well because the area has been so active and it hasn't just been the pandemic, really ransomware attacks. I know a lot of people like me have been helping clients navigate that. And it comes in a lot of different forms, right? So whether or not you need to restore the system to continue your business operations, you could have a cyber attacker that gets access to that server that you forgot about, right? And they send you a ransomware note and say, I have your data. And remember, you have to mitigate under HIPAA. So how are you going to get it back? Because it's already a problem and a breach issue if they have it, right? So, you know, that data is definitely subject to those cyber attackers. There's other lines that come in and just encrypt your system. And maybe you don't want to negotiate with cyber attackers. Maybe you'd rather restore your system.
That's the optimal choice.
Yeah, not paying those criminals, right? And so unfortunately, you know, it's something that everybody has to think about. And one thing I really appreciate is that, you know, the OCR spends a lot of time trying to be a resource to people and provide those alerts. And then outside of healthcare, there's a lot of other alerts. And small or large organizations should have somebody responsible for knowing where their data is, what their contingency and restoration processes are, and what those critical systems are, and monitoring alerts and system updates and patches as they come out, because we just really have to be on defensive mode. Again, unfortunately, there's people that really are functioning like a corporate operation and just trying to get into your systems and get your data. Mm-hmm. And so obviously that can really impact patient care for those providers out there. And so it's very critical to know, you know, how you're going to restore systems, not just from a breach perspective, but to make sure that patient care can continue and that people aren't hurt as a result.
Yeah. And in the case of a ransomware attack, obviously the best case scenario would be if you were attacked with ransomware and let's say, you know, you're locked out of access to all your data, but you have really great backups to everything, then you're able to just delete any current data that is on that affected device. And then you're able to just upload the backup and then you don't even have to interact with the cyber criminal. Now that would be, and again, that would have to be something that you would have prepared in advance where you know where your data is and then you have backups to your data. So now we're kind of moving away from the paper age. We're definitely moving into a digital age, and with the technological advancements, there's always going to be technical difficulties or issues that we're going to see with interacting with technical data, because now we're not having those situations where people literally break into your hospital and steal documents. Not saying that can't happen. That absolutely can happen. However, it's a much more profitable industry.
Well, I think the bigger issue is that electronic information is more sizable. Hopefully,
exactly.
You don't have thousands of people's or millions of people's information just sitting out where people, you know, those cases do still happen. But in the paper crime cases I've seen, it's usually a person picking up a couple records as they walk.
It's much more profitable,
right?
Obviously, to steal large forms of documentation in a digital format. Yeah. I'm definitely not saying that people can't still steal paper data, because that absolutely still happens. We're just seeing more and more cases of ransomware
attacks. And it's such an important point, because when you're saying, what are the downfalls, right? And I get calls all the time. I saw this attack, you know, how can I make sure that I'm protected? And it all comes back to, where is your data? Because you really can't have a peace of mind that your security posture is in a good stance and a protective stance from those cyber criminals unless you know where all of that EPHI is.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, because I feel like this entire podcast actually is really, I don't want to say this so strongly, but kind of, or so confidently, but it's really the proactive way to prevent ransomware attacks or cyber attacks, because we see so many ransomware and cyber attacks in the news nowadays. And a lot of times what we see is what happened and the after effects of it. But then there are some people that talk about, you know, how to prevent it. And obviously there's methods to that, but really the first and foremost, most important thing is exactly what Joy's been talking about. The entire podcast is, where is your data? If you know that, that's a great start to be proactively protecting yourself against ransomware or cyber crimes. So we went a little bit over, but it definitely was something that we needed to touch on. So I'm really glad that we did.
Yeah, sorry about that, but I agree. I mean,
never apologize.
It's a crazy time. And, you know, to the extent you discover your data and you realize you don't even need to have it, and you securely destroy it, that's another way you've protected it from a cyber criminal. So all good things. And thank you again for having me today. I think that compliance is always a moving target, and I'm always happy to talk about these things to the extent that it gets somebody to start to think about things that they can do to even better posture themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always love to really give hope to our listeners, because there's a lot of fear out there today about so many difficult things going on, especially in the digital age and the difficulties that are facing the healthcare industry. So we always like to come across with a positive approach about how can you protect yourself. And there are definitely ways to do that. So I hope that everyone feels a bit encouraged today about the recommendations that Joy has given us. And again, thank you so much, Joy, for coming on. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. Take care. Appreciate it.
You too. Bye.